RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
And by the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader. Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete line of products, visit Thetford.com. And by Cabela's, the world's foremost outfitter. Let Camp Cabela's help get you ready for your next great camping adventure at Cabela's.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are saying goodbye to our Jayco Whitehawk travel trailer that has taken us on dozens of RV adventures over the last 5 camping seasons.
We are poring over every nook and cranny and telling you the best and the worst features of our 33-foot quad bunkhouse travel trailer. What held up to the wear and tear of our rambunctious family of 5? What ended up driving us nuts in our home away from home? We'll dish on everything.
You might think we've reviewed tons of bunkhouse travel trailers on this show, but we know that we've never actually dished on our own rolling abode. You are listening to episode number 120, saying goodbye to our Jayco Whitehawk.
Before we head into this week's feature topic, saying goodbye to the Jayco Whitehawk, it is time for our news roundup, which is sponsored by our friends at Progressive Insurance.
You can stay protected with emergency expense, which is automatically included with your RV comp and collision. Progressive will pay for temporary expenses, transportation, and towing if your RV is damaged more than 50 miles from your home. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV. For more info.
Now, do you think that we should be insuring our Christmas ornaments, our RV Christmas ornaments?
We probably ornaments? Should around this house.
I bet you Progressive has a policy for them.
Yeah, probably. It's an add-on.
We're running our second annual hashtag RVFTA ornament. It's Instagram only. There's big prizes. You just need to take a cool photo of your camping or RV-themed ornament and use hashtag RVFTA ornament. And then if we pick you and repost you, then you're in the running for 3 amazing prizes. First prize is a brand new RV. Oh, no. It's sorry, forgot.
Back up.
Almost. First prize will be a signed copy of our book, The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations, and we promise to sign it and doodle in it and offer you some extra travel trips using like a Sharpie or something. We'll pretty much mess up the book before we send it to you.
All right, you can do that.
And then second prize, we have an RVFTA t-shirt. We have a wide variety of sizes, and we're going to send you one that no one has ever worn before.
Promise. Or we'll wash it
I'm not
first.
Wearing it right oh, yeah. now. Right?
Take it off. Let me throw it in the wash.
Third prize. Oh, and second prize is for holiday cheer. First prize is for overall best photo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did I just say that wrong? Let
know.
Me start over. First prize is for best overall photo. Okay, that's the book.
Mm-hmm.
Second prize is for the most holiday cheer. Like, how much holiday cheer did you pack into the photo? And that you get a t-shirt for that. Third prize is the most likes. The picture that gets the most likes. Not on your site.
Yeah.
Because that's not fair. It's on a level playing ground. On our site.
On our site.
So
we regram
the
you.
Ones we're regramming are the ones that we are putting into the running for the contest. Now, you can't get your feelings hurt if we don't regram you. You just can't, okay? Don't take it personally.
Well, you can, but don't email us about it.
Yeah, we just,
if you have hurt feelings.
Not everyone can be
know.
A winner.
Just drink a cup of eggnog and, you know, move on. It's okay. Yeah. No, remember, we're not the generation of participation trophies, right? Everybody gets a trophy. We know.
When I was young, you had to.
Somebody has to be a winner, and that's okay. That's the whole thing about contests. All right. Now, the next thing that you need to do, in addition to entering our ornament contest, is you need to help us out here with our Tents for Troops fundraising. If you try to give back at all to charity during the holiday season, right? 'Tis the reason for the season. This is a great thing to do. I can't emphasize enough that if just a small handful of you that are listening right now went and made a $5 donation that we could buy this trailer tomorrow, okay? We just need everybody to chip in, and it doesn't have to be a lot, because if everybody pulls their weight, we can buy a trailer for one of our military families. We know they sacrifice everything so that we can enjoy this amazing lifestyle, camping and enjoying the beauty that this country has to offer, and we really want to do something to show our gratitude.
And think of it as a gift to our active duty families. Think of it as a gift directly to them. I know it's Christmas time and budgets can be tight, but it can be $5, $10, $20.
If you have more, that's fine. But I'm saying, if you can just reach into your pocket and pull out a fiver, if a bunch of you did that right now, it would go a long way towards getting to our goal.
And then we have incentives. So at $50, you get an RVFTA bumper magnet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at $100, you get
the bumper magnet and a t-shirt.
A fresh t-shirt.
Yeah. Never been worn.
Never worn. Okay.
Maybe.
Now, the Florida RV Super Show is coming up. It's the 32nd year of the show. It's January 18th to 22nd. Stephanie, that's a month away.
I am so excited that it's only a month away. Like, it's snuck up, but it's like 20 degrees this week here, and I'm thinking about Tampa. I'm dreaming about Tampa.
It's in the teens right now.
In fact, I was talking to someone at the Super Show today. We were chatting on the phone, and he told me that it was 82 degrees
there.
Just
wrong.
80. He goes like this. I said, I can't wait to come down there. And he goes, wait a minute, I can't hear you over my air conditioning.
Funny guy.
I was like, very funny.
All right, this is, I'm just going to lay this out. It's the best RV show in the country.
It is. It's
okay, we've been to the big shows. This show is huge and it's fun. There's live music, there's Theodore Roosevelt impersonators, all kinds of quirky entertainment. We get to go and hang out there. We're going to be making a special podcast from the show. And the Tampa area is beautiful. You can also wine and dine in Tampa after the show. So it's recommended that you come.
Yeah, you can camp on site. The Super Rally is all sold out, but you can still show up and get dry camping for $20 a night, okay? Or you can visit the website, and I'm going to put the link in the show notes to that, okay? The website will have all of the information on nearby campgrounds and hotels, okay? So if you don't want to dry camp and you can't get into the rally because it's sold out, go ahead and see. It has all the information you need on booking another place. And we know people that are staying in hotels nearby.
Also daily seminars, like educational seminars about how to operate your RV and which RV might be right for you. There's over 450 vendors. Stop the madness.
It's a pretty good vendor
show.
And
the food is good, too. There's a little bit of variety with the food. It's not just your typical hot dog and french fry situation.
Yeah, I think. I don't remember. What did we eat last year? Oh, we ate pizza. I was trying to remember
really
what we found.
Pizza.
Veggie pizza. Got it. All right. Now, there's also, $10 per ticket, but there's a two-day admission policy, okay? So you can go back the second day. And kids 16 and under are free, which, you know what? That's a good deal, 16 and under. I mean, a lot of places like 3 and under.
And most importantly, over 1,400 RVs spread across 26 acres. It's like dying and going to RV heaven.
All right. We're going to be there. We want you to be there too. Okay. Drop us a note. You can drop us a note on our forum. There's a thread. You can tell us if you're going to be there. You can send us an email, you know, chat with us on social media. Let us know if you're going to stop by. We're going to be at the breakfast at the RV Super Show in the morning. They have like donuts and coffee and everything. And that's going to be a really great gathering place for anybody that wants to hang out and chat about their day and talk about what they're going to see and everything. We're definitely going to be there. So don't feel like you're not going to be able to track us down in the big place. That's definitely our kids.
And you can
will
reach out on social
donuts.
Media, say, hey, we're here, where are you guys? And we'd love to say hello to our podcast listeners. Absolutely.
All right. Now the next RV show that you need to put on your calendar if you're in the area is the Atlantic City RV Show, which is in February, from February 17th through the 19th. And we're actually doing seminars there. So a really jam-packed schedule of seminars. And I put the link in the show notes to that seminar schedule also, because there's like 3 to 4 a day.
I think we're doing 4 on Friday, 4 on Saturday, and 2 or 3 on Sunday.
All right.
And we have some awesome seminars lined up. We're going to do 12 reasons why RV vacations are better. So if you're a newbie, you know, we're going to really like persuade you that this is the way to go for your family vacations. We're going to do another one called Which RV is Right for Me. We're going to walk through like Class A, Class B, Class C, fifth wheel, travel trailer, pop-up, and give you sort of pros and cons for each. And then we're going to do one that I'm pretty excited about, 10 amazing campgrounds in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. So please come to the Atlantic City RV Show, attend one of our seminars, and say hello.
All right. And speaking of Good Sam, because that's a Good Sam show, we want to tell you that the Good Sam Travel and Savings Guide, the 2017, is out right now. And we are in it. We are very happy once again to have provided their family camping article for them. It's all about sort of preparing and planning and packing for a family RV trip. I think it's a really
it's a great article. Yeah. Lots of good photos. I would recommend not buying it at like a bookstore because I think it's $30. If you get it at Camping World, it's with a membership, a Good Sam membership, it's like $10. And then to me, it's a great value.
It's also cheaper than $30 on Amazon because I put a link in the show notes to there too. And I noticed that it was under $20. It might have been $17 or $18 on Amazon. So that's a pretty good deal. And I did want to give out a shout out to our friend of the show, Carrie Cox, who's a part of our network. She also has some writing in the Good Sam Travel Guide. So I want to say congratulations to her.
Carrie Cox is way more than a friend of the show.
Yeah, I know.
She's a correspondent. That's like SEAL Team 6 elite.
So we're happy that the RVFTA Podcast Network is representing.
Yeah. Representing. Now listen, tonight's show I think is a special one for us. You know, saying goodbye to our Jayco Whitehawk. It's been 5 years. This RV has formed a chapter in our lives as a family. So stay tuned and we're going to tell you the complete story and give you a complete review after 5 years of use of our Jayco Whitehawk. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for our featured topic, saying goodbye to the Jayco Whitehawk. But first, it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. When you select a Thetford toilet and Norcold refrigerator, you are choosing a product that will provide years of trouble-free use. We can personally attest to this, right, Jeremy?
Well, we've had the Whitehawk for almost 6 years, and it has a Thetford toilet, and we have abused that toilet. I just cannot say that enough. Our boys have done everything they can to try and break and clog that toilet, and they couldn't do it.
I would like to say that we actually potty trained 3 children. In that I never really thought about it that way.
And
but
the Norcold fridge rocked, and we never, ever had a problem with the Norcold refrigerator. It still works like the
day
that
we had one problem with it.
When we spill
when
stuff.
You would know when you close it
occasionally you know that's not really exactly true. In the winter, obviously you want to keep your fridge and freezer doors open so you don't get mold, and one winter I propped it open with something and the thing I propped it open with fell. So you don't rat me out like that.
Okay, well this is a great time to point out that there's something that a lot of people don't know exists, and there's these little clips that pop out from up in the handle, and if you pop it out it keeps your refrigerator door from closing, so you don't have to put whatever it is that you put in the door to keep it open. Just pop that little clip out and it's going to keep your door from closing.
And listen, those Thetford toilets are made in the USA, aren't
they? Yes, they are.
I love it.
In their factory in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Great
USA.
Town.
USA. Yeah, it is. We love Ann Arbor.
Good people from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Good food, good football.
All right, let's roll into this Jayco Whitehawk situation. I think for a lot of people out there, like each RV you own forms a chapter of your traveling life as a family. And it's been almost 6 years in the Whitehawk, and it just was a chapter in our lives. And I'm actually kind of really sad to see the Whitehawk go. It's everything is great about it. It's still functioning and working perfectly. I mean, I'm incredibly excited about getting the toy hauler, but this RV is close to my heart. This has been a great RV for our family. So we want to run through the whole situation for you with this Jayco Whitehawk.
Yeah, I said in the show notes that I wrote up for this episode, I said, we're not getting a new trailer because there was something wrong with this one. We're getting a new trailer because we're entering a different season of our lives as, you know, campers with our kids. Like, we got this when they were 3 years old. The twins were 3 years old and Wesley was alive, but we didn't know it yet. He was on the horizon.
He
existed, but we had no idea.
He was subliminally saying to Stephanie, get quad bunks, Mom.
He was communicating to us.
I want to lay this out too. We spent 23,000 $500 on this trailer. And I remember I was getting about 27% off MSRP, which I was really, really happy with. So you could reverse engineer that number and figure out what it is. But and now I'm not going to say the number we're selling it for, but I'm really happy with the resale value also. Jayco does say they have higher resale values, and I am totally happy with the resale value after almost 6 years. We have spent almost 300 nights in this RV. We may have gone over 300. I stopped counting.
Right. And we also paid, just in terms of laying out the financials, I think we paid about $140 a month, right, for our RV payment.
Yeah, we put down a fairly healthy down payment. I think we might have put down around $7,000 as a down payment, which was a stretch for us at the time, but we did. And so, you know, we've always, and we've said this on the show, we've always looked at that RV payment as like being the price of like a cable bill payment.
Your cell phone, less than your cell phone, you know, something like that. Like when we put that in perspective about all the other things that we pay for that don't bring a lot of value into our lives.
Or joy.
Or joy, yeah.
I mean, that $140 a month was the best money I feel like we spent as a family in a lot of ways. I mean, a bargain to me for the pleasure and the joy and the fun it gave us.
Yeah. And also financially, we have to say that we did not have to spend any large chunks of money at all on this camper while we owned it.
Absolutely not.
So, you know, we're going to talk more about towables versus motorized units in a future show, but it's something to note that we could buy as a, you know, regular middle class family, this $23,000 travel trailer, and we could use it for 5 years and not have to spend.
There were not hidden expenses.
Right.
And I think if you get a good quality travel trailer by a reputable company and that comes with a good, you know, 1 or 2 year warranty.
And
with Jayco,
right,
it's a 2 year warranty. You know, you're good for the first 2 years. And then Stephanie said, we really had almost no repair or maintenance costs in the last 3 to 4 years. I mean, I bought new tires, but the tires were 3.5 years old.
Right.
You know?
I think you had our RV mobile guy repack. Right? The
axles.
Yeah,
repack the bearings. So, I mean, that's maintenance
costs,
though.
You know, right.
That's not,
so
right.
Affordable maintenance costs, and we were careful with maintenance. I feel like we were a little, we did pay attention, right?
I did everything that needed to be done.
Yeah.
I mean, the first time I waited a long time to get those axles repacked, but I've done it religiously every year. Yeah.
And, you know, we didn't cover it, and that's one thing that we recommend. So the outside was faded a little bit.
Cap faded, mm-hmm. Right? The paint on the front cap faded, but I never covered it. And it sits in my driveway, in our driveway, in a position where the sun beats down on it. So I would recommend you getting a cover.
Right.
And we kind of cheaped out on it. Like, I kind of didn't want to spend the money on a cover. And in retrospect, I wish that we did.
All right. So that's just kind of like the rundown of the financials on it, the specs. Now, why don't you say
the truck aspect?
Okay. Before you go there, let's say the length and the weight.
32 feet, 11 inches. My driveway is about 32 feet and 10 inches, so it sticks out into the road about an inch, depending on how good of a parking job I do. And it is about 6,000 pounds dry with nothing in it. And the first truck that we towed the White Hawk with was our 2008 Chevy Silverado Crew Cab, which had a tow capacity of 7,700 pounds. And the towing experience was great for 4 years with that truck. I mean, I think it towed it really, really nicely.
Yeah, the only time we ever struggled was when we got up into the Smoky Mountains on the North Carolina side. Remember when we were doing Cherokee and we were like,
I would have liked more power there.
Yeah,
certainly.
Mm-hmm. That was the only time I really remember.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We were safe. We were fine. But, you know, it would have been nice to have more power then. And also, that was one of our big long trips where the RV was pretty well packed.
It was at the beginning of one of our big long trips and the RV was really packed.
But the White Hawk, I'll say the White Hawk tows really nicely, and a lot of the ultralights or lightweights tow really nicely because they're lighter, but it's not just that they're lighter. Something to point out to maybe a newbie or somebody thinking about getting an ultralight, they are not as tall. So if you go into a Jayco J-Flight, they are almost like a foot taller or 8 or 9 inches taller, and that creates more wind resistance when towing. So when you get a White Hawk or a similar ultralight, there's less wind resistance, a very nice tow pack. I mean, it just tows very nicely.
But you're going to feel a little more closed in maybe
exactly.
When you go in. And, you know, we'll talk about that more on our cons list. So,
We got the F-150, which tows 9,100 pounds. And that thing tows the White Hawk like it's like nothing, like it's not there.
Yeah. Well, we're going to put it through its paces. soon.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes, right?
All right. So that's just sort of the specs. Now, let's just say one more thing before we move into our actual list of pros, because I think it's important for people to know, if they don't know our entire story, that this is our second RV. Our first RV was a pop-up that we owned for 2 years, two full camping seasons. We got it when our boys were 11 months old, and we sold it when they were have just turned 3.
And I couldn't sell it fast enough.
Yes. So while we fell in love with the whole camping, the whole RVing thing, while we had that pop-up, we had so many troubles with it.
Something broke almost every time we took it out. We've told this story. It's been a long time since we've told this story.
Right, that's why I want to mention
it. But something
it.
Broke almost every time we went out. And I remember being at the Cape Hatteras KOA and the stereo breaking for the second time.
Yeah.
Right? So we had 3 stereos in that pop-up camper. So at that point, I became determined to find the best brand. Mm-hmm. You know, and this was long before Jayco was a sponsor of our podcast, long before we wrote for Jayco. And I probably asked 200 people about their RVs. I really did it. Every campground I went to, I would ask, are you happy with your RV? Are you happy with this? And we just heard a lot about a lot of happy Jayco owners and a lot of people on their 4th or 5th Jaycos. And that kind of like sealed the deal for me. And I also loved that there were so many family floor plans and all the different Jayco lines.
Right.
So I really gravitated. I got to the point where it's like, I am buying a Jayco. I'm not looking at anything else. And I'm really glad we did.
Yeah. And I also think that we were determined to use the warranty, right? So one of the things that I really recommend is, if it's got a 2-year warranty, use that camper in that 2 years as hard as you can, right? You better make sure that anything that is in ship shape is going to go in that first 2 years. And I think that at that point, we were really confident that we just used our camper so much that we were like, you know what? 2 years?
Will out in 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the great thing about a 2-year warranty that Jayco provides, is like, if there's a problem, it's going to come out in 2 years,
yeah.
Right? I mean, in a year, it might actually not, particularly only if you're camping for 3 months of the, you know, of that first
right.
year, right?
And I do want to, I know you just said it, but I want to say that this show, every single thing that we're saying in this show is not an ad. It is truly our experience, and it's our genuine experience. And that's why we're so happy to always recommend the brand that we have, because it's our genuine experience.
This has been a pleasure for almost 6 years of owning this RV, as opposed to the pop-up camper we owned previously that was just nothing but heartache.
Yeah, and we were underwater on that when we traded it in, so that's a different experience
too.
So what we had to do is we had to buy our way out of that loan, but it was so worth it for us to be able to get rid of the pop-up.
Yeah, when
and get
I say
into
I put, we
trailer.
Put down $7,000 on the new one, you know, we were also paying off $2,000. Mm-hmm. We were like $2,000 underwater, something like that, right? Because
yeah.
initially I thought I had a $10,000 down payment,
yeah.
and it ended up, I didn't, because I
had
to pay off the
other
one.
And we were so just inexperienced. We had no idea what we were doing. We spent, what, $13,000 for a pop-up camper? Like, hello, people. There are travel trailers out there that you can get that are beautiful for
$10,000. We have podcast listeners, Phil and Leslie, have a Jayco travel trailer that they bought for less than $11,000,
yeah.
and it's awesome.
And we're just like,
yeah,
we had no idea what we were doing.
But it's been a great experience with this RV. So let's walk through all the things we loved about it. And then we want to give you an honest perspective on the things that we didn't like about it. None of which have to do with quality, more just things that just sort of rubbed us the wrong way over the course of 5 or 6 years. So what are some of the things that we really, really loved about this travel trailer?
All right. We were really happy with the appliances, right? So you just said in the components that were in there, like you just said, we went through 3 stereos.
We had 3 stereos in the pop-up camper.
The Sharp TV, the DVD player.
The DVD and CD player is a Jensen, mm-hmm. and the TV is a Sharp. So they were name brand appliances, and they work like the day that we bought them. Right
the now, microwave, the refrigerator. We could go through every component in the trailer, and for 5 years, we used them heavily during the season. Our season was longer and longer every year, and nothing ever broke. So
that really
made me happy. So the second thing is the cabinetry.
Yeah, Jayco uses real wood cabinetry. That was definitely an attractive feature in buying a Jayco, and the cabinetry looks and feels brand new, and it all works even after 5 years of slamming
cabinet door
shut.
Like, that's what I feel like when I look back and I think how many times I opened and closed all those cabinets to load the food up, and you know, they really did hold up.
Check out a Joshua Winters Haylet RV walkthrough of a Jayco where he starts
banging on them.
Pounding and banging on the Jayco cabinets. And it's like, dude, calm down, chill out. But he's showing you, look, you can punch these things and they're good to go.
The lighting. We really like the lighting. There was a lot of different options for lighting, right? Overhead, little lamps and everything. There was always plenty of light wherever you were.
Intelligent lighting in our bedroom, intelligent lighting near all the seating if you wanted to read. And also, amazingly enough, I don't think any of the light bulbs ever blew out. The outdoor one did.
I thought that one that, in the bunkhouse
the one outside did. And that was like the only one I've had to replace in all these years.
Yeah, so we did really well with that. And Janine Pettit was just mentioning that she was unhappy with the lighting in her rig last week. And I thought, oh, we really like it. Like, so I actually, you know, thought of that. All right, the next thing. Interior and exterior storage.
The amazing thing is that we're a family of five. We have gone on 30-day trips in this Jayco Whitehawk. We have never run out of storage space. I think that Jayco's really intelligent with how much storage space they get into their travel trailers, and we never filled our camper up. I mean, we've come mighty close to filling up every nook and cranny of storage, but it always held everything that we needed it to hold, including bikes, kayaks, food, clothing, everything. Yeah, we don't pack light either.
No, we don't particularly. Although, you know, I don't overpack either. There's a lot of things that I don't. he just gave a little eye roll. I don't overpack.
You don't overpack. But we've got three little boys.
Right.
That, you know, we bring a lot of stuff.
But when we go on our longer trips in the summer that are three and a half weeks long, I have to say that within my interior space in the RV, I always had more room. I could have brought more toiletries. There was always a little more drawer space or cabinet space. It wasn't like things were like about to explode out.
You know, I just realized we have not said what model number we had.
Okay.
The 29
right.
SQB.
Which doesn't exist anymore.
They made it for a year or two. And apparently, I guess it didn't sell well enough. I mean, if they stopped making a floor plan, I guess it means they're not selling enough of them. We loved this particular floor plan because we got the quad bunks in a 33-foot package, which go out and look around in the RV world. To find a quad bunkhouse at 6,000 pounds and 33 feet, I don't know if that exists anymore.
Well, people look for it. It's true. But I think that at the time, we do love that quad bunkhouse. But I think that when we hit our negatives, we're going to show what we traded off for that. And that was the thing that we didn't realize ahead of time.
I think maybe the dominant major pro over 5 to 6 years in this RV was that quad bunkhouse. I love and adore that Jayco quad bunkhouse. It's not on a slide, you know, but the beds are 6 feet long. An adult can sleep back there. The mattress pads are comfortable. They're wide enough for an adult. So the kids were incredibly comfortable back there. It's cozy. It's a nice place to read stories to them. Really.
You know, and there wasn't a lot of floor space. It's not like the bunkhouses that you walk into and it's like a room. But you know what? The wardrobe was huge. I had all the room that I needed back there to put their books, their activities, their clothes. Everything fit back there. And they had just this own space that I just feel like they're so attached to. And they'll always remember. I know they'll always remember that bunkhouse.
Yeah, it's my favorite feature of this RV. It's the thing I'll miss the most because we're not getting a bunkhouse in the same way, but we'll talk about that on a future episode.
All right. One of the other biggest positives was the kitchen. I really think that the kitchen was nice. It had something that a lot of people complain about when they don't have, and that's drawers. Okay. It did have two nice sized drawers, and I never thought about that ahead of time, but now I hear some people go, I don't know why I don't have any drawers. And I can see why that would really annoy people.
Lots of counter space. Mm-hmm. I love our kitchen. Now, our kitchen is not on the awning side of the RV. It's on the rear side of the RV. And the kitchen and the sofa are on a very shallow slide. It's like an 18-inch slide. It's not a big slide. But that kitchen is a very spacious kitchen, and it could fit the coffee pots and all the extras and some fruit and all of that stuff. So loved the
kitchen.
Double
sink. And it also had an oven, which, you know, or a lot of people say, oh, well, I don't cook in the RV. So a lot of manufacturers don't put in ovens in certain models. And this did have an oven, and I use that oven so many times that I'm really glad that I had it, because I don't know if I would have like thought, oh, I don't need an oven. But I'm glad it was there because I used it over and over and over again.
The bathtub and the shower worked perfectly. I mean, it actually has a bathtub, so we would give the boys baths in that.
All three of my boys could fit in that bathtub. It was ridiculous.
One time, not anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Not now, but they did. They used to all pile in there and they'd get a bath and they, you know, my boys are very attached to baths. They're the kind of kids that hated showers and they would get a bath at the end of the day of camping. And I'm really grateful that we had that in the camper to make it so easy. Like, cause it's just, everybody knows if you've got little kids, that's like a big part of life. It's like, it's bath time. And also the shower. I feel like the shower had plenty of headroom and space and everything. I was never like, oh my gosh, I can't move in the shower.
The shower was a little small for me. Fine for Stephanie. We also loved the outdoor kitchen on the White Hawk. And in 2012, when we bought this, you know, the concept of an outdoor kitchen was much newer. It's almost, I don't want to say it's becoming standard in travel trailers that are over 30 feet, but you're seeing it on so many of them. We loved the outdoor kitchen. It was not a plumbed outdoor kitchen. So there was running water, but then there was sort of just like a camp sink that you have to
Yeah, so there was an actual faucet. So you could, you know.
Hot and cold water.
Mm-hmm.
And we eventually attached a hose to it, which was incredibly useful to like put out the campfire at night for a variety
Fill
of
Fill my pot if I was making pasta or something. And I always loved to make like crabs or, you know, like a shrimp boil on the outdoor kitchen because it was so great to boil stuff on the outdoor
kitchen. And having a little fridge out there, as Josh from Haylitz would say, dad's medicine cabinet. It was great to have a place to have cold iced teas, cold sodas, cold bottles of water. We used that outdoor fridge a lot. And you even cooked out there.
I did. I cook a lot
two
out
burner,
there.
There's a little two-burner stove, mm-hmm. which you did use.
Yep. So I was happy with, definitely happy with the outdoor kitchen. You also love the black tank flush.
I love the black tank flush. And again, I think in 2012, I don't know that that was so common.
It wasn't, because I remember Rick doing our walkthrough, or who was it that did our walkthrough at White Horse RV?
It wasn't Rick, but I
know. He was a really nice guy, but I remember him going on and on and on about it. So it must have been like special.
But listen,
at the time.
I have religiously used that black tank flush. And if you're a newbie and you don't know what that is, you just hook up the water line to the black tank flush and there's sort of a propeller inside that blows the water around and it cleans out the black tank. So over 5 or 6 years, I've religiously used that black tank flush before leaving a full hookup campground or a campground that has water, obviously. And we've never had any clogging in the black tank in 6 years, which it's almost like a miracle to me, you know, with how much we use. We use the RV bathroom.
Right.
So I would say if you're in the market for an RV right now and the travel trailer you're looking at doesn't have a black tank flush, I would think twice about buying it.
Now, another thing that I grew to appreciate, because I didn't even know some of these features I didn't know were good features. The ladder that goes up to the roof, right? Like to me, I was like, oh, well, every RV has a ladder, right? But then if you go to these campgrounds, you see a lot of people carting their own ladder. It's like bungee cord it to the back of the RV or something. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, it is surprising that sometimes they don't put a ladder on them. But
because we go up, and this is another issue that, you know, people break things on their camper. We go up and we brush off the slide before we bring
every
it in
time.
Every single
great
time.
Newbie
you don't
trick.
You don't take a chance.
You go up, you climb up there, you look at your slide, you make sure there's no sticks or twigs on the slide, because then if you close it, you could do some serious damage.
Yeah.
That's another thing I was religious about. And the Jayco has that fully walkable roof, so totally safe and comfortable up there, and I would actually climb up there and take all kinds of photos.
Yeah.
It's like my large tripod, my travel trailer roof.
Right. All right. Oh, and here we go. I love this list because it's all these things that we didn't really realize we were getting. Special, like we didn't know, and we ended up looking at it. So another thing was the electric stability jacks and the electric tongue jack.
I could not go without them. Well, I have gone without them because we blew a fuse once.
Yeah.
And, you know, having to manually crank the stability jacks, I feel like a funny dud saying this. I don't want to do it, man. After I've driven to a campground, it's like 10 hours. Like, I want to come out and press that button, and it's like,
yeah, and the kids help with that.
I don't want to be cranking that thing.
The thing is once we got our trailer, I just thought, oh, well, I guess all travel trailers, like pop-ups are manual, but all travel trailers are electric. But then we look at so many RVs because we're at the RV shows. And we're there. The more I looked around, the more I realized, oh my gosh, some of these RVs are so much nicer than ours.
And they
have
don't.
The manual.
They have the manual. Yeah.
And that really shocked me.
The Jayco White Hawk line was pretty feature rich or option rich right from the beginning. Yes, it's almost kind of surprising that it came with that. Another newbie trick, if you do have the electric stability jacks and the electric tongue jack, make sure you have the proper tools to put them down manually in case you blow a fuse. I love having a big electric awning. All right, so the awning's electric too, push-button electric on the White Hawk. And we have a huge awning on the White Hawk. I was going to go out and measure it.
We sound so lazy. We're like, to
me, on a travel trailer, you need like a 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-foot awning. If you've got kids, having a big awning on your travel trailer is awesome. Because if it's rainy, you get all the bikes. You can get everything under that awning. Or you can sit under the awning on a rainy night. I mean, I love sitting under the awning on a rainy night.
That's another reason.
Having lots of space under the awning.
Right. That's one of the reasons why you hate slide outs on the awning side.
Yeah. I mean, there's like, you know, we were looking at Class C's for a while, and the typical Class C bunkhouse model for Jayco and for a lot of other companies has a slide on the awning side, and then the awning's like 10 feet instead of like 18 feet. And like, that's a deal breaker for me. I love having a really large awning. So if you have the slide out on the awning side, even if the awning goes over it, it's going to take up some space, and people have different opinions about that, but I don't really like that. Or it's just, they're just going to move the awning over and not have it on top of that slide out. So something to think about. Love having the big awning space.
All right. And the last thing, a silly little last thing.
Forced Stephanie to put this on at the end. I just love the look of aluminum rims on a travel trailer. And they don't all come with them, but I like the fact that the White Hawk came with the aluminum rims.
A little more fancy.
Thought it was sharp looking, you know? So overall, you know, those are the pros for the Jayco White Hawk, the things that we loved. You know, I think we mentioned the lighting in the bedroom too. It's like a nice, cozy place to read in the bedroom.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's what I was saying. You had the immediate lighting that was over each person's head. Then you also had overhead lighting that was up on the ceiling. Like, it really did offer you a lot of different options, and I appreciate that.
Now, no travel trailer has everything, right? I mean, there's going to be things you love and things you don't love. And after 5 years in a travel trailer, you really do start to figure out the things you don't love about it. So it almost kind of hurts me a little to say anything bad about my beloved White Hawk.
We're doing it.
But we're going to come back and talk about the things that after 5 years we really didn't like about this travel trailer.
Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment two of our saying goodbye to the Jayco White Hawk. We just went over our pros and all the things that we loved about the White Hawk. Now we're going to talk about some of the cons, but first it is time for a sponsored message from our great friends over at Cabela's.
Cabela's is passionate about supporting families in the outdoors, and they have all the gear you need to make camping fun and comfortable. Some of the best moments of our lives are spent around a crackling campfire sitting beside family and friends. Visit Cabela's.com and start making memories that will be treasured for generations. Cabela's, it's in your nature.
It is in my nature, and it's in your nature too. In our travel trailer, we did not like the size of the master bedroom over the course of many years.
Yeah, so we went on and on about the bunkhouse, and we had stars in our eyes about the bunkhouse, and so excited about that I think that the master bedroom didn't really register. Like, it was just like, okay, this is fine, great. We had a pop-up, and there was just a bed there for us. So
the king-size bed in the pop-up was gigantic and awesome.
Yeah. So we were just like, okay, here's the master bedroom. But that master bedroom ended up really being, like, the thorn in my side.
It's very tiny, and the bed is not centered. So in a lot of travel trailers, the bed is not centered. It's shifted over to the left as you're facing it, particularly if the door is near the bed. So Stephanie's side of the bed has a decent amount of room to stand and get changed and just walk into bed. My side of the bed is very narrow between the bed and the wall. I cannot stand there and get changed. And then if I put like my bag on the floor or my shoes on the floor, which I do, it just starts to feel like a closet very quickly.
Yeah, you feel like you're climbing into bed. Like, it's like there's not a bedroom. It's like you're just climbing in, you know,
so,
over stuff and everything. And then on top of that, it had curtains, not doors, which, of course, ultra light. And it was like, okay, that's no problem because a pop-up didn't have any doors. So it didn't occur to us that that would be a problem. Well, let me tell you something. 5 years later, I'm so sick of those curtains. The curtain is right by the door so that if I'm like behind the curtain and I'm trying to get dressed.
Picture this scene. Stephanie sometimes lays in bed a little bit longer than the boys and I, which is fine. And she works harder than any of
us. No comment.
She works harder than any of us in this family. But in the morning, she sometimes like takes an extra 20 minutes. First of all, she's just waiting for the coffee to be made.
I'm waiting for the coffee to be made. She's waiting for the coffee to be made. The coffee.
I make good coffee and I grind the beans fresh. I'm in no, you know, I do it right. But so imagine the scene. Stephanie's lying in bed. There's the little curtain, the flimsy curtain there, and then the door's right on the other side. And of course, Max and Theo and Wes love to go in and out of the camper 5,000 times a minute, even at 7:30 in the morning.
Like,
so that door
slamming, the door.
Every time that door slamming, like that curtain is blowing and wafting right into Stephanie's face, kind of. I'm exaggerating only a little bit.
No, it was really like it got to the point where I was like, this cannot abide. Like, I just can't do this. I need a door and I need space to stand and change. Like, I need space. Otherwise, I'm going to lose my mind. I have three young boys and they're getting bigger by the day. Like, so it's that feeling that you don't realize. I was one of three girls. I didn't grow up with boys and everything. So then, like, when I have these little two-year-old boys, I'm not thinking, oh, they're going to get bigger and I'm going to want a little privacy.
Right. So that was a real priority for the next travel, you know, the next toy hauler, which we'll talk about next week. Now, we also didn't really like the mattress. I mean, particularly once we were going on like the 2-week trips or the 3-week trips, you know, for me, after 4 or 5 days, like, the mattress felt thin and my back started to hurt a little.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the biggest regrets I have is that we took so long to just order a better mattress because it was so affordable. It was on our gear guide.
But it might not have been affordable 5 years ago to get a new mattress.
Yeah, no,
I think it's
right.
A relatively new thing to be able to get these really great $200 mattresses.
Yeah. So we did upgrade the mattress, and that upgraded mattress is going right into the new camper. I'm not even trying out the mattress.
Oh, yeah.
In
and
there.
The old
I don't
mattress
care.
Is going right back in when we traded
yeah.
it. So the mattress was, you know, a little bit just too thin, really, for us.
Right.
Now, the boys' mattresses in the bunkhouse were fine. Now, also, there's not good airflow in our bedroom. A lot of our cons are centered around the bedroom in the White Hawk because only one of the windows opens, right? So that was something else. We'd never thought of that when we were buying
That was it. Really hard for me because we were going from the pop-up where you have all of those unzipped, you know, canvas windows. And on a beautiful, cool night, you know, up in like Acadia, Maine, you'd be lying there near the screen and feel all the cool air on your face. And that was just one of the best parts of camping in that pop-up. And then we went from that to this, the travel trailer, and I couldn't even get airflow from window to window, and that drove me crazy. I was really upset about that when
so
I realized.
That's something to look at, you know, because again, when you're shopping for a travel trailer, you might not even look or think to see if both windows open in the bedroom, but I would, particularly if you're the type of person that doesn't want the AC on all the time and you want fresh air coming into the travel trailer. Stephanie does not like U-shaped dinettes, and our Jayco Whitehawk 29 SQB has a very prominent U-shaped dinette.
Oh, a huge one. And who was the biggest, like, fan of the U-shaped dinette?
I fell hook, line, and sinker for the U-shaped dinette. And over the years, I've really come to agree with Stephanie. I think you have less room for seating at a U-shaped dinette than you do at a booth dinette. That rear seat ends up being like you can't, nobody gets to it to sit there anyway. Mm-hmm. So then it ends up just blocking leg room for the people that are sitting on either side.
Yeah, and everybody has to understand that these are convertible tables, right? They go down for when you move. So think about how a convertible table jiggles. So then the kid who's sitting behind there all of a sudden realizes that he has to go to the bathroom and everybody's eating their cereal for breakfast. So the kid that's behind is squishing around to get out and he knocks the table and three kids' cereal spills, you know? Like, it's just a train
wreck. So in the Jayco, though, you can take out the back bench. So we actually removed it. It's in the garage. But, remind me to put that back in when we bring the RV dealer.
We're not making a note.
So you can actually just take it out, and we turned it into a booth dinette, and it functioned perfectly well as a booth dinette, and really created – it functioned fine, and it created a lot more space.
Yeah.
Okay?
I know our listeners are probably sick of hearing me say it, but any kind of seating that isn't flexible at this point, you need to think very carefully about whether your family's really going to use it and want to be comfortable hanging out there. You know, don't think, oh, that's such a nice place to eat dinner, because you're not going to be eating dinner around the inside of your RV all the time. You're going to be out on the picnic table most of the time. Think, is that a good place for kids to like play a board game or a card game? Or like think about rainy day activities, morning activities, the things that you're inside the RV for.
Yeah. Now, the thing that my biggest con for this travel trailer, and this was a tough one, is this, I mentioned earlier, the slide is not a big slide. You know, it's like an 18-inch slide or something like that, where so many of the travel trailers today have slides that are much, much larger. So there was very little open floor space. And with the three boys getting bigger every year, just walking back and forth in the RV, like we're banging into each other. There was just not that open space on the floor, even to sort of lie down and play a board game or something.
Yeah, there's like this TV show on HGTV, and I can't remember the name of it, but it's like they have people that are like saying why they want to leave their house and buy another house. And they like show them in different areas of their house, like how they're not functioning. It'll be like a couple in the kitchen, like running into each other. I kind of felt like we were like auditioning for that show all the time in that area of RV. Because it'd be like, if you were making coffee and I was trying to get breakfast for the kids and the kids are like sitting there doing their like coloring at the table, it was a circus.
It was a circus. And look, that shallow slide kept the weight down. You know, it allowed it to be a 6,000-pound, 33-foot quad bunkhouse.
Right.
But, I mean, my intuition is that that's why they stopped selling that floor plan, because every quad bunkhouse they made after that in the White Hawk line had the much deeper slides.
Yeah.
I think that was really fundamentally the problem with that floor plan.
Yeah, and I want to say something, because I just thought of this, and we missed this on our pros list. We never thought of this, but it's important. And one of the pros was that we could use that camper fully functioning with the slide in while we were traveling.
Great point. Okay. You could get to the bathroom.
Yeah.
You could get to the bunkhouse.
The refrigerator.
You could get up and down everywhere in that travel trailer with the slide in.
We could sit at the table, like sit at the
dinette. We hear all the time that people say when their slides are in, they can't get to their bathroom. And we're like, really? Like, who designed that?
No.
Right?
So we were a fully functioning travel trailer in a rest stop. And I really appreciate that. And I'd never want to not have that capability. So, I just thought that. Sorry.
That's okay. We're allowed to be spontaneous. It's our podcast, for goodness sake. Okay. What are the other cons? The bathroom size. This is a close second to me.
Don't get confused, because we said that it was a positive for the tub.
For the tub.
Right.
But the overall bathroom size is very small. And unfortunately, in a lot of quad bunkhouse models, the bathrooms end up being tiny. That's not the case all the time. But when you do the double over double bunks, where there's the two bunks, you often get a really big, spacious bathroom.
Right.
And then ironically, the people that need the quad bunk house and have more kids often get the smaller bathroom. So over the course of 5 years, it kind of started to drive me crazy using that bathroom, because it was tiny.
Can I say, though, you just referenced the double over double bunk. So I do want to say this for any of our listeners that are shopping and looking at models like that. We have no regrets that we did not buy a double over double model. Some people really vacillate and they go, maybe we'll just get the double over double and two of our kids can sleep in one bed together.
Our kids would have beat each other up silly for 5 years sharing a bed.
It would have been a nightmare. We are so glad that we did not do that, because we were really very close to doing that.
The quad bunks made it all worth it, mm-hmm. in terms of that small bathroom.
Yeah,
but I'm excited to be getting a much bigger bathroom in the toy hauler.
Okay, the air conditioning.
Now, the air conditioner worked great.
Yeah.
It never broke.
No.
But really, our Jayco White Hawk 29 SQB, in a sense, is a three-room travel trailer. There's the small master bedroom, there's the central living area, and there's the quad bunkhouse. It has one air conditioner
in the middle. Right over,
so,
like, the booth dinette.
On a hot night, we'd crank the AC, and the middle of the RV would be really cold and nice, and then the air wouldn't get all the way into the bunkhouse, all the way into the bedroom quite as much. It was an uneven distribution.
You had to keep the air on really low, you know, a low temperature, in order to cool off the whole camper. And sometimes you would, like, raise it, because you were reading out there before bed and you'd be like freezing, right? So you'd like put it up.
Oh, yes, you're sitting out there freezing reading.
And then you'd
reading.
Come to bed and I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I'd be like dripping sweat, like, he turned off the air again, you know, because it just doesn't come through.
Something to think about if you're travel trailer shopping and it's a much larger travel trailer. You know, I'd really consider getting two ACs, which takes you to 50 amps. I mean,
which we did.
on the Toy Hauler, we've decided to do that. You know, we will report back on that. But think about that when you're travel trailer shopping. Is that one central AC really going to cover the whole rig? And when you're shopping, I might ask them to put the AC on for 10 minutes and see how it flows, mm-hmm. right? Because I don't think most people do that.
No, no.
That feels annoying.
Right. And you have to also consider that, like, an AC, it is noisy. So if you're really pumping it, if you really have to pump it to get to all areas, that's going to be, like, an overarching part of your experience.
Now, our last con, and we mentioned this in the first mm-hmm. segment, because it's both a positive and a negative. And that's the thing in the RV world. So many things that are a positive also in some weird way can be a negative. So the lower ceiling height made this thing tow like a dream because there was less wind resistance on it, but it did make it feel a little cave-like on the inside. So I'm really excited to be getting into a taller unit with more headroom.
I remember years after getting the White Hawk and being like at RV shows and walking into a lot of the newer units too with skylights. So skylights became sort of much more popular in just the 2 years after we bought this travel trailer. And I was like, oh, I want more light, which is probably why I got sucked into the toy hauler as soon as I walked in.
Because oh my gosh.
I was like, I need to come out of the cave.
It's like a bug flying towards a light.
Yeah, that's probably the number one reason.
Now, overall for me, this was a wonderful, wonderful travel trailer for our family, largely because of the quality, largely because of the quad bunks, and largely because we had the time of our lives in it.
Yeah, I have to say there's a piece of me that feels like not good about getting rid of this trailer that, like, you know, Wesley's never camped in anything else. Like, his whole life has been in this
White Hawk. I think he'll remember the White Hawk.
And, like, the boys, like, they have such ownership over this camper. And I don't know, like, they're so excited for the new camper. But there's a piece of me that feels bad. Like, I guess it's the same thing that you feel like when you move to a new house.
But I think some other family will buy this and be really happy and get a lot of use out of it. I know it's corny when people say things like that. But I mean, like, the people we bought our home from were really excited to sell it to us because we're a young family with three little kids and they had raised their family here. So there's a lot of life left in this trailer, and I'm really hoping it finds a nice family that's going to enjoy it.
Yeah, and I'm glad that we're not getting so much bigger. I mean, I know that we're getting a little bit bigger, but I think that the whole point was that the size was pretty good for us.
If the slide had been bigger, the slide would have been fine.
A matter of the way the space was used that became, like, not good as our boys got older.
Look, your life changes and your family changes and the size of your children change. So, you know, you buy an RV and then 2, 3, 4, 5 years later, your family is different. Mm-hmm. So I think that this probably happens to most people, is that you buy an RV and it's perfect for you and it's right for you, and then things change and you want different things. It's just a natural evolution. I mean, I know there are people that buy a travel trailer and keep it for 10 years, you know, but I think with our kids at the age they're at, that's not necessarily us. I have to say, I'm sad to be leaving the Jayco White Hawk family. I mean, we are definitely staying in the Jayco family, and I'm super happy about that. But I love the White Hawk line of travel trailers, and it just continues to be a great, great line. So, you know,
we know the product manager there too.
I just feel like we're abandoning the White Hawk line and moving into another part of the family.
Well, but we are moving into another part of the family, because next week on our episode about the Octane.
Say hello to the Jayco Octane Superlight.
Yeah, everybody's going to get to hear from Brent.
So,
our new bestie.
Okay, our new bestie. He's the product manager for Octane. So he's going to, you know, talk to you guys about the whole line. And we're going to talk to you about why we fell in love with our particular floor plan. And I'll say it right now. Yesterday, we got a phone call from our dealer, and the Octane has landed. We are recording this podcast right now. We have not seen it yet. We haven't been able to get to the dealer yet, but it is there. It is in the great state of New Jersey waiting for us to come and take it home.
Yeah. So it's going to be a fun episode, and I'm really excited for everybody to hear from Brent, because he's awesome. So even though we are saying goodbye to some pretty good people in the White Hawk line,
Do you think the White Hawk people still talk to us?
I don't know. But, like, I feel like Brent, like, poor Brent, like, he's like our handler. I feel like he's like, He's like walking us through this.
I don't think we're that high maintenance.
Are we? Sometimes I feel like I'm high maintenance.
We're not that high maintenance.
All right. So that's going to be a really exciting
Stephanie
episode.
Was a little high maintenance with Brent.
Oh, yeah. I kept opinions about things. So that'll be exciting, even though we're kind of feeling sentimental and sad right now. I feel like we both just went like,
you cried when we sold the pop-up camper and drove the White Hawk home. Stephanie burst out crying. And I'm wondering if that's going to happen this time.
I think that it will.
We did not love the pop-up camper. No. We had so many great memories in it. But
I did not love what happened with the pop-up camper. The experiences that we had in that pop-up camper were phenomenal.
It was our first RV.
I mean, we went places. Like, I have so many memories of trips in that. And between Acadia, Maine, and the Outer Banks, North Carolina. And I remember, just out in Pennsylvania in the middle of a cold night in the 30s and running out of propane and being freezing and having all the babies underneath the blankets. Like, it just – so much of our life happened in that pop-up. Now I am going to cry. And a lot happened in the White Hawk.
What was your favorite memory in the Jayco White Hawk?
You know, that's a really hard question.
Just a good memory that pops to mind when I ask you the question.
Okay. It's, it sounds like a simple answer, but really the memory that stands out to me the most is the first trip that we ever took in it. We got it and days later, I think it was, we left, right? It was days.
We left for a big New York State trip.
Yeah. And we went to the Finger Lakes of New York State. We went to Niagara Falls. Like, I don't know. I just loved that trip. It felt so fresh and new and like, oh my gosh, it's so exciting.
It felt like this brand new world of luxury travel to us too, even though we were in like a pretty much an entry level travel trailer to some degree.
It was fun. It was a fun trip with the boys. It was also the last time we really went on a big trip without like Wes, And so I don't know, like I just have really fond memories of that trip.
I remember different people telling me that backing up the travel trailer, even at 33 feet, would be much easier than backing up and parking the pop-up camper. And initially I was like, whatever, because I was intimidated to get a 33-foot travel trailer. I was nervous pulling off the lot. Of course, 10 minutes later, I felt totally comfortable. But I'll never forget showing up at the first campground in the Finger Lakes. It was Hickory Hills. Hickory Hills. And backing up into a beautiful back-in site. And it was so easy backing up that travel trailer. And I was so proud of that brand new travel trailer. And that is maybe my best memory, too, that first trip in that rig.
I can picture that campsite so clearly. And I think it was because it was the first time we had that trailer in that campsite. It was like, whoa, look at that thing. It seemed so big to us. It seemed ridiculous.
And I also have I have fond memories inside the trailer too. I complain sometimes about the boys waking me up at 6 a.m. and wanting to watch a cartoon, but I loved it. I loved waking up at 6 a.m. with them and snuggling up under a blanket and putting on Andy Griffith or a cartoon while you slept a little bit longer and having that first cup of coffee. And
That's the second time you inserted that into this episode.
I'm just like subconsciously trying to like knock Stephanie down this week.
So I have to say that now that I thought about it, there is another memory. And that's the first, not the first season that Wesley camped with us, but the second season. Remember, we turned the master bedroom into his crib nursery.
Oh my God.
And we installed the crib into like the box of the bed.
I cannot believe we did that.
And then we slept in the bunkhouse with the boys.
So the second season, Wesley's first season in that RV, we opened up the master bed. There's the storage. So we flipped it up. I had the idea, my idea, I was proud of it, to put his crib in there.
We have a little porta
crib,
it
fit perfectly, by the way.
Yeah, it did.
If you've got a little guy in a crib and you're not figuring out how to do the sleeping arrangements, consider this, because it gave him a private nursery so he could go to bed earlier.
Yeah, 6:30.
And then and I slept in the quad bunkhouse with the boys for the entire season.
Yeah.
For like 60 nights of camping.
Yeah, we did.
We slept in the bunks. I subconsciously oppressed that memory. And it worked, though.
But that's the thing worked. Is it worked for us, and we did what worked for us so that we could like continue on living life, right?
And traveling.
We weren't ready to hit the pause button on our life just because Wesley was like a few months old. Like that's what we wanted to do. And we still did it, and we just made it work. And it was fine. It was fine. And you know what? The next summer, we reclaimed the master bedroom.
I think the boys really liked that we slept back in the bunks with
them. Yeah, like, I don't know. I just think that that's a memory, and that's okay.
The wonderful thing about being a family and traveling in an RV is that you are forced into that small space together. And it's a cliche, and it's corny, and I don't care because it's all true. You know, you're brought together in an RV. You really are. It's not a house with multiple rooms where you can go do this in that room and I can go to that in that room. You know, we spend that time together in a really profound way, and I'll always be thankful for all the RVs that we own over the years.
All right, I feel like we're going on and on because we don't want to actually...
We don't want to say goodbye.
We don't want to say goodbye.
You're
right. That's what I feel like is happening. We're sitting here ambling on and making the episode too long because we can't just like say, this is the end of us, you know, talking about the... But we do. So we'll be back in a minute to wrap up the show.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 120 of RVFTA, saying goodbye to the Jayco Whitehawk, and a really big thank you to our sponsors, Cabela's and the Thetford Corporation.
And also thank you to Progressive. Adding an RV policy to another Progressive policy like a home, auto, motorcycle, or boat is a great way to save time and money. Get on the road to savings by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV to learn more.
What's past is prologue, Stephanie.
Your favorite quote.
My favorite Shakespeare quote.
Yeah.
So next week, we start a new chapter, and we're going to do an episode called Saying Hello to the Jayco Octane.
All right.
And we're going to do two segments. We're going to tell you why we fell in love with this travel trailer, the features that we're really excited about. And then in the second half of the show, we're going to interview Brent, who is the product manager for the whole line, and he's going to tell you about the whole line of Jayco Octanes. So really excited for next week's episode.
Yeah,
and I'm really excited to get our Jayco Octane. And it's just about Christmas, and we can't figure out a time when we can go pick this thing up.
Yeah, we can't figure out how to wrap it up and put it under
the dealer's 2 hours away, and it's like they're closing for Christmas, and we're busy with stuff, and it's like we got to find a time to go get our new toy hauler.
All right, we will manage, and we will definitely be here next week to talk to you all about the new rig and toy haulers and the Octane line in general.
Happy holidays.
Bye-bye.